Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the American Legion Show. This is Kevin White, your host. It's Wednesday night again. Come back with another show and waiting for our guests to arrive. But in the meantime, I'd like to thank you. I don't know why it happened that way, but, you know, it just didn't work out. But that's okay. I have some news to announce and appreciate Mr. Brad Geyer, attorney for number one, so for January 1, and his rise to prominence a little bit. We went to the Donna's Cowboy Logic Radio program. Aired Sunday and aired yesterday, and I posted on my Facebook page a lot of great news in there, a lot of information that I never knew was going on, and I appreciate him coming on my show twice. He's been on like maybe three or four times in different capacities, but an expert in the virus, expert in January 1, an attorney was actually defending somebody there who's a prisoner. And as you guys know, I have a friend there who's a prisoner. Don't know her that well, but I know her well enough, and her husband. Military people, family, all kinds of military people in there. So it's a sad state of affairs, but at the same time, we appreciate him and wish him the best. So Donna took good care of him, and I'm surprised at the level of homework that you should did on that program, because there are things I didn't tell her about. And she dug it all up and talked to him. And by the way, Brad was always a fan of Donna growing up in New Jersey when she was at Fox News and also at did the helicopter reporting and was on the Howard Stern Show and all that stuff. So good luck to them. Can't wait to have them on again with new updates in the future. But right now, I think we're going to talk about some things that are going on. We all have heard how the Omicron version is hitting the U.S. now. So right after this little promo, we're going to talk about it when we come back.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
That's right. 347-637-3942 is the number. Anybody can call in, be a guest, talk to our guests. We have one. If we don't, then you can just call in and talk. We've got a lot of people calling from different parts of the United States. And as I found out last week, we're broadcasting this show to the United States, parts of Europe, the Philippines. I have a real place in my heart for the Philippines. I used to live there when I was a kid as a dependent military, of course. And Australia. Feel bad for the Australians because what they're going through right now, all the lockdowns. If you're not vaccinated, you're a prisoner. You can't leave your compound. It's kind of sad. And, you know, hopefully we won't get that far here. We have a different kind of constitution, but sometimes you got to wonder what's really going on because they're going so far overboard above what they're supposed to with this constitutional thing that's going on. So we're challenging our inalienable rights every week, it seems like. And one of the things that challenges us is this virus, this coronavirus and all the different versions of it. First, we had the plain generic coronavirus. Secondly, we had the Delta, which should have been Beta if you went by the right, you know, alphabet, Greek alphabet. But that's okay. I don't know. Those didn't pan out or what. So now we have what they call it's called the Omicron. It's the giant machine, killer machine, supposedly, that we were warned about. But if you talk to the doctors in Africa who discovered it, I don't know how they discovered it, but they did, they said it didn't require any kind of hospitalization. Yeah, I was listening to the news today, and they're talking about the cases in the United States that the doctors have found this and that and the other. Well, Africans say there is no need to have any kind of medical care because it goes so fast, it's so slight. But let's hear what, since this has happened, what Dr. Fauci has said about this virus and what we should expect in the near future based on his assessment. It'd be interesting to hear what he thinks versus what we think, what might be the reality here from what we've heard. So here he goes. Here's his clip here.
Top U.S. scientist Anthony Fauci has said that initial studies are indicating that the Omicron variant might not be severe. This is encouraging news as the variant continues to be detected worldwide and keeping governments on edge. Now, speaking to CNN, Fauci said that early indications of the severity of the Omicron variant are encouraging, though he cautioned that it is too early to make any definitive statements about the strain yet. Scientists are working around the clock to determine whether this latest variant of COVID-19 is more transmissible than others, resistant to COVID vaccines, and infections more severe in nature. The results are expected within weeks. Cases of Omicron so far have been confirmed in at least 15 states. Now, the Omicron variant has so far been detected in at least 40 countries worldwide, prompting countries to impose travel restrictions. Now, across the Atlantic, the UK government reintroduced COVID-19 restrictions due to Omicron. Those traveling into the country will now need to show a pre-departure negative coronavirus test taken at least 48 hours before boarding the flight. Now, the travel industry took the news badly, saying that it would be a hammer blow since pre-departure tests would deter people from traveling. Britain on Sunday reported 86 new cases of Omicron, taking the total number identified to 246. Denmark, too, has reported a concerning jump in Omicron cases with 183 confirmed cases so far. The number of Omicron cases tripled in just 48 hours. Denmark is one of Europe's most advanced countries in sequencing of coronavirus variants and often detects cases more quickly than its neighbors, which does not necessarily indicate higher rates of infection. We are now available in your country. Download.
So, there's a Fauci clip at the end of that, but it didn't appear. I'm not going to go any further because we got dead air in the middle, so we're not going to do that. Anyway, Fauci says we have to be careful. It may be more dangerous, but we don't know yet. But we're just cautious. You know, we already have cases. We've got everything we need. I think what happened was between Africa, the African FDA or CDC, whatever they have, has already labeled this as very mild and requires no hospitalization. I think that was broadcast so many times that they kind of changed their story. They're saying it's vaccine resistant, but think about this. They don't need the vaccine for it. It's so mild, you don't even know you have it sometimes. And so I don't know how you test for something that doesn't exist in the first place. It might just be a regular type A alpha or beta that we don't know about or that they didn't know about because it's not very prevalent over there, which leads me to another anomaly I've discovered. I don't know if you guys heard about that cruise ship that was fully vaccination required, but they came back with a huge outbreak of the coronavirus on the ship. Now, how does that happen? This is like the perfect petri dish because what you have here is a ship with nothing but vaccinated people, including the crew. You could say that they got something like on a stop they made or whatever, but that just proves that maybe the vaccine doesn't work as effective with the regular, you know, coronavirus out there floating in the air or maybe at a port. But I can almost guarantee you anybody at the ports would probably have to be vaccinated. That's just my guess. But I don't know. Just guessing. So some things like this don't make any sense. And it seems like the more vaccinated states and cities have the highest spikes of the coronavirus outbreaks and hospitalizations. And you pick all those states that they talk about, and that's what that is. Cities, states, counties. It's just incredible. Like, I think it was Maine. It was another state that's the highest vaccinated state. Maybe it's Massachusetts. I can't remember, or New Hampshire. They have the highest cases of vaccinated breakthroughs, which I'm not sure if the breakthroughs or not, but to me, it doesn't seem like it's something I'd be interested in because I see too many people that I know personally that get this breakthrough after they get the virus vaccination. But beyond that, something else I want to talk about, and when my guest gets on, we're going to talk about a little more. Let's talk about this Jussie Smollett case. This is ridiculous. They think he's going to get just a slap on the wrist. And what he's doing is he's denying everything. So I don't know how he can do this when there's an overload of evidence of things that he's done, things that he was part of through this case. So let's hear. Mr. Producer, roll clip 2 for the show. Thank you.
Jussie, who was bundled up outside the Chicago courtroom today, doubled down on his denial that he hired these brothers to stage an attack on him. There was no hoax, he testified under oath, telling a different version of events. The Osundairo brothers, who claim it was Jussie who masterminded the attack and paid them $3,500 to carry it out. Jussie claims the money was for nutrition and workout advice.
You ready to tell your truth?
I'm ready to do what I got to do.
Yeah?
Yeah. Tell the truth.
Jussie also testified that he and Abel Osundairo did drugs together and had sexual encounters. This morning, the prosecutor grilled Jussie about his appearance during the GMA interview.
I am forever changed.
Arguing that Jussie had no noticeable cuts or injuries, the actor brushed it off, saying that was due to the makeup and good lighting. Video, by the way, is a major part of the prosecution's case, including this surveillance footage of the brothers buying supplies for the attack with the money they say Jussie gave them. And this police body cam footage from the night of the purported attack. You can see the rope around Jussie's neck. The 39-year-old has pleaded not guilty to 6 counts of disorderly conduct on suspicion of making false reports to police. If convicted, legal experts expect he would receive probation and community service.
Yeah, suspicion, all right. Suspicious actions and activities by Jussie Smollett. Okay, he wants to make sure the truth comes out. And you know, he's got 2 people. It's 2 against 1 right now. They got videotape and everything you can imagine, but there's a lot of people behind this. That's why I'm bringing this up. There are politicians who, 2 of them, which you know well, who created a bill, the anti-lynching bill, that happens to be friends or relatives of Jussie Smollett bill. This could be very hairy in the future for a possible vice president and a senator. So I think this is a stunt, just like the NASCAR one that would lead to this legislation that was so important. And you're thinking, anti-lynching, who does lynching anymore? Exactly what I was thinking too. Anyway, I can read your mind. Who does lynching in this day and age, except for military tribunals? No connection there. Just saying, what is the purpose of this? And I thought it was rather strange when it came up, when they wanted to have this bill passed, and they actually passed it. So was it instead of 2 white men with MAGA hats, it was 2 Africans with red hats. Everything didn't line up to the story. And then they have a video of a dry run the day before, which can't happen. Those things can't happen 2 days in a row to the same guy. So we all know that this is a fake story. And at the end of that clip I played for you, you notice that they said that Jussie Smollett could just get off with community service. Are you kidding me? Community service? Why? Because he knows a lot of people in connected places. He knows the Fox lady from Chicago who interfered, which is one of, somebody used to be in the White House friend. So he's got a lot of connections, got a lot of power apparently behind the scenes. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if he walks free, because I think he already did. I don't know if he did. I thought he did some community service before, but I'm not really sure. But these things like this, and he actually has a federal charge against him that should be against him. I think it was dropped because he actually mailed the letter, the threat letter, to himself, and that's a federal offense to do that. So there are so many ways and things that he should go down, but you know how the law doesn't apply, and that's one of the things, you know, for the people, by the people. The Constitution talks about this, justice and liberty for celebrities, for politicians, for people with money. No, it's supposed to be for all. That just still applies to the prisoners of January 1. And like Mr. Brad Geyer said on the show last night, that these people should be free and mounting a defense. They should not be in a prison anywhere, waiting, you know, to get out with no trial date or anything. They have nothing to hang their hat on. They can't even get haircuts. This is a political move. And as you said, you're going to find out a lot of things soon when these videotapes are released. Brutal things, things that you wouldn't believe. I've heard a little bit about it. It would blow your mind what's going on in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C., as everybody may not know, is actually not part of the United States. So they call it the District of Columbia. It hasn't been for centuries. And that's the seat of our government. And that's kind of strange. I didn't learn that until last year. They still have fences up and things, weird things happening there. I'm not sure what's going on. But the point is, we don't know what's coming from our government against our people. And we just have to be prayerful about it, because it could be anybody. I mean, just if you don't take certain things, you don't believe certain things, you might be a target of what's going on. So we have to be careful and mindful that we get things right, we do things right, and that we defend our freedom. And things like this are happening all around the country. There's a lot of protests, especially around the world. You see this in Europe all over the place. Even in the Philippines, you see people out there saying, we're not going to do this vaccine, and people are raising up left and right. You know, they're actually going after the Aborigines, the natives of Australia, and making them take the shot as well. And they're not having it. They're not liking that at all. So we have to think about other people. And when you talk about things that are dangerous or you have emergencies, that does not constitute subduction of your civil rights and of the Constitution. We still have the same Constitution, you know, and that's why all these cases are coming out and they're taking away these, like the OSHA rule, and they're taking away the other parts of these industry things. And I think the people in Congress, a lot of them know about this, and they're actually acting on it. And I saw that today in the news, that they're actually working on changing, you know, overturning some of these mandates. So that's good news, because even if I agree with the mandate, it's still not constitutional. That's the most important thing about it. It doesn't work. You can't justify it, and eventually it's all going to come tumbling down. But at the same time, think about the people who already had to make that decision. And this includes nurses in the hospitals. This is going to probably sweep the whole country. So, but think about the people who already took what they didn't want to take. I mean, their rights are violated. You can't undo what's already been done. So you have to be careful, and hopefully maybe next time something happens that we don't have this issue. Because lots of rights are violated, and like my friend Brad Geyer said, a lot of these people are going to be surprised. All these employers and these people who prescribe these things will be liable, can be held liable. That doesn't matter what the government made them immune to. It still doesn't matter, because they are still liable under the Constitution and under the WW2, post-WW2 act and trials, Nuremberg trials, they are still held responsible. So no matter what they do, they are going to be trapped. And as already, they're already putting together these defenses for people who have taken remdesivir and people who have made these mandates and decrees. I'm talking about governors and city workers, schools. All these things are going to come undone. That's my prediction, because you see the tides are turning here in this country. Finally, people are fighting back. Huge, massive protests in Europe all the time. You see that everywhere. People are done. Oregon makes their mask mandate permanent. That's not really a good thing. I mean, you're showing that you're going to go along with what you think, but I'm sure it's not for the elite. It may not be. It may be. Who knows? But usually we find that out, that things don't apply to the leadership. It's just like in California, when the governor goes out to dinner and has party with no mask, but people get, you know, picked on and arrested because they have no mask. We have people breaking in the border. They have no mask. They have coronavirus. They have all kinds of things that we don't know about. It could be measles, different versions of mutated coronavirus. Could be anything, but you know, we just let them in. We treat them better, actually, than the people on 1-6, and better than Americans just to get on a plane. But they're coming through. We know who's coming to this country with the passports. We know people who get on a plane to fly locally or regionally. We know all those people. We can't trace anybody coming through the border. I'm sure there's a lot of people coming through the border who don't go through the stations either. But when you have holes in your, or you have the front door open or the back door open at your house, you get what comes. You don't have a choice. I mean, you can't defend yourself when you're not allowed to. So there's a lot of things happening right now that are a threat to our country internally and externally, where you have rogue leaders and you have rogue people. So everybody that comes through that the wrong way is actually breaking the law. And all these governors that are playing their God-like rules, and all the other people, you know, your senators and congressmen and people voting for things that they shouldn't be voting for, going against the Constitution and making up rules as they go based on what the CDC says or what Fauci says. And the CDC is not even a government agency. They get their funding from Big Pharma and all kinds of people. That was my dog. I have a guest here for a quick show. But right now, we're bringing a guest in here. Our guest is Tom McMillan. Hey, Tom, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How are you tonight?
Oh, great. Tom McMillan, I used to work with him years ago, and he is a Air Force veteran as well, and he's also a business owner. And I have a lot of questions about your business and how things are affected. You're in a small town, and are you in Paulding, Ohio? Is that right?
No, we are in Defiance, Ohio. It's just right next
Defiance.
Door to Paulding.
Okay.
Yes.
Ah, awesome. Can you tell us about the business you run? Because this is really important for everybody, because I like to know your challenges. Do you have shortages or anything? Because I know you're in the wood industry and you build beautiful cabinets and all kinds of things. So tell us a little bit about your company.
We retired from the cabinet business, but I do specialty products for a company that we think outside the box, using products that are, instead of going to the landfill, we regenerate them and cut them and form them into products that people need for shipping and things like that. The products we produce are made out of OSB you know, man-made material that, like I said, normally the pieces end up in a landfill. And the thing about these is, first off, it doesn't go to the landfill. Secondly, the product is able to be shipped overseas without having a stamp on it that it's been heat treated and everything, because it's man-made material. And it works out well. And like I said, we try to think outside the box to make things and make them just as useful, if not more useful, than making it out of pine or oak or something.
So this kind of ties into what's going on with the shipping containers or things like that. I mean, you're manufacturing something that people need to ship things in. And tell me, how have you seen any shortages or anything inside your business that indicates that, or are you guys immune to that right now?
No, a lot. The shortages are, I guess we don't have shortages because I pick up material as it's available. We purchase it. And the big thing for us is fuel charges, things like that to keep bouncing around. The price of diesel is getting to the point where, you know, it makes it hard to keep your pricing the same. And we went through this once before. We had to raise the price quite a bit to cover our fuel charges and things like that and be able to, you know, still deliver. And then after the prices came back down, of course, we readjusted back to the prices before. And we'd even went in and said, you know, let's do a fuel charge. Let's do a delivery charge instead of just the price includes delivery. And so that's what we did for a while. It was like a surcharge added to it.
So just like everybody else, and it's crazy. I mean, we went to the grocery store the other day, and $100, we bought like 30 items. Everything's going up. I mean, fuel. I mean, we're going to take a trip to Florida here in December or a couple of weeks, and I can't imagine what it's going to be like. You know, you could calculate that and everything, but nothing like it was before. And I'm sure you experienced the same thing with your surcharges, and that's exactly what's going on in this country. And that's the reason I brought it up, because everything's getting more expensive to operate and to run. And I have a business myself, but I don't have any kind of material like that. But shipping books is expensive. So that's what my company is, Drowning Fox Publishing.
Yes.
Getting more expensive.
We have, in these specialty products, there was one customer that just would not do anything with recycled material. They wanted pine. So we said, okay, but here's what your price is going to be. And it was about 40% higher than what we produced out of the material that we used. And they didn't have a problem with it. Well, then they came back this year, and the order came in, and they wanted to know what it was going to be out of pine. And it went up like 140%. And they got a hold of the customer, and the customer said, no, we can't do that. And so there was about a week there where we didn't hear anything back from the end customer. And so they called him, and he said, well, we've been doing some price checking, trying to figure out what else we could do. And it boiled down to, you know, the dollar. And he said, okay, we can do this. Well, then when it boiled down that the customer got the product, he said, this is so much better than I thought it would be. He said, I figured just OSB, it would deteriorate in the water and everything else, which OSB, like everything else, has made great strides. This is what they call a hard pack. It's where they pack it with probably 4 to 5 times the pressure to make it as to what they do for your house. And this really works well. And so then we ended up gaining a customer because they had decided this was a better product than the pine was anyway. and they didn't have to worry about shipping costs overseas with it being stamped or anything.
That's awesome. It makes a lot of sense.
Sometimes,
I mean, you got to – yeah, go ahead.
Sometimes, you know, like I said, we try to think outside the box and make a product that is as good, if not better. And there's been times that we can't. But most of the times, you know, if you're trying hard enough and sit down and figure it out, you can do it. And I think that's where my military background helped a lot, was if you don't think you can do it, just give it a shot. You can work it.
So how much, I mean, today is remembering Pearl Harbor, of course, Pearl Harbor Day. So how has your military career, I mean, you just mentioned that, how's that help your business?
It's helped my business immensely because of...
So tell everybody what you did in the military.
I was an aircraft electrician for many years, and then the last few years there, they combined us with heating and cooling, and you became an aircraft environmental electrical specialist. And that was something that was unique, and we learned quite a bit as we transferred over from that. But, yeah, the military immensely helped us because – a lot of people don't realize or think about if you have an aircraft such as an F-16, what it takes to keep this aircraft up and running. And you have a bench stock, you know, of parts that you keep on hand just to keep this aircraft going. In order to keep it mission capable faster, if it does break, you have to have parts on hand and ready to go.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. It's a resource monster because of what it does. I mean, you're flying at 9 Gs, up to 9 Gs, and then you're banking and yanking, and that has an effect on parts and systems. So, yeah, it's very, very critical that you have that supply chain. So that probably translates into what you're doing right now.
Yes, it does. You learn how to search for parts, quality parts, whether you're talking aircraft or you're talking building things, that at a price that you can afford.
Right.
And in later years, the Air Force had the price challenge option in there, that if you thought you could find a better price for the Air Force, that, you know, you could turn in this paperwork and you know, try to get something done about the high prices.
Right. Yeah, that's a good thing. Always a good thing. So tell me about your what you do. You said you think outside the box, and you actually make boxes. That's kind of funny, kind of ironic. So
we do. We make boxes.
You have,
we had them come in, and they were making these parts, and they needed a 42-by-42-inch box that was roughly 19 inches high, but the box had to be able to hold about 7,000 pounds of parts.
Wow, that's crazy.
And we put banding around them, of course, but you also have to be able to build the box with some strength. And we tacked everything together with nails, came back, and put screws in everything, and tried to do that at a decent price without hampering the quality of the box. And the boxes had to be stackable, and we had seen some pictures from the where they went at the end of the manufacturer, where they were stacking these boxes 12 high with that much weight in each box. And they had not had a failure. And I was, you know, we try to keep track of that. When there is a failure, I like to have pictures of it, and we work at our customers and tell them, look, we want to see pictures of what happened to this box and why it broke, and, you know, maybe we can change the way we do things a little bit and make it better. And fortunately, in that instance with those boxes, well, as long as we produced them, there was no failures, thank goodness.
That's awesome. So we're going to change gears here. I want to talk to you about current events. And anybody can call in if they like and talk with us. And it's phone number is 347-637-3942, 347-637-3942. From coast to coast, United States, call. It's free. Well, you're paying for your service, but basically it's free. And let's talk about, I mentioned earlier about the Jussie Smollett. I don't know if you heard that or not, or you're off air. Case, are you familiar with that one?
No, I didn't hear what you had to say. I was busy here trying to get things wrapped up for the day. And
well, what's going on is the trial, they're going to make a decision here pretty soon, and he claims he's innocent. And my take was that there are people behind this. And I think, let's see, we have a vice president and we have a senator, Cory Booker. They're both involved in legislation for anti-lynching law, right? You remember that?
Yes.
So, like I said, who does lynching these days? And at the same time this is going on, this is when Jussie Smollett had his season in the sun. So he was a willing player, and I know he communicated with them. But I think he there's text messages and things like that. Hopefully that will come out. But
tapes, you know, a videotape of it.
Yes.
I realize that a lot of people feel as though there is a long way to go as far as our equal rights opportunities and things like that for everyone. But I also think we've made a lot of strides.
Right.
We have a ways to go. There's no doubt about it. And anybody that thinks there's not, they need to open their eyes and look.
Right.
I think we need to, as American people, sit down and look at this and say, not necessarily just him, but as a whole, what can we do to make things better? And then I go back to this because it was so neat, and it was a lot of things that people didn't realize. The African-American colleges were coming in and asking every year for funds or money to do their job from the President of the United States. Donald Trump,
right,
when they first came in, he said, how often do you come in here? And they said, well, we got to come every year and ask for money. He said, no, this is ridiculous. This is something that we need to support all of the time. This is a great cause. It's one of the better things that we need to do as our government to support this. And they were amazed, and he gave them funding for years. And
right.
It's things like that that I say, why wasn't this done before? You know,
good
President
question.
Obama, President Obama, of all people, mm-hmm. should have understood the issue and the stance on all.
President Obama, king of the Black Americans, king of the Negroes,
yes.
didn't do it.
You know, and that upsets
mm-hmm.
me. And not because...
Yeah.
Not because he was a black president and didn't realize the situation. He was also a president that was supposed to be working hard for the people. They came from, not the highest standard of living and everything else as he came through. But yet, he made them come every year just like everybody else. And
right.
why? And it goes back, we're not taking care of this country very well. We aren't taking care of our people. You go to the debt limit for today. They okayed the debt limit ceiling again for a year, kicking it down
yeah.
the road, Steve Bannon
yep.
says.
And they do this all the time.
And yeah. And he said, you think this is only good for a year? They'll be back next year and try the same thing. they're trying to eliminate in a roundabout way the filibuster. You know, this isn't right. The American people are given a bad bill of goods, and I don't know how they can take her and turn around and keep increasing their credit card when you and I and American people, when you run out of money, you stop spending. You don't increase your credit card. You know.
Yeah, I think the only thing that will fix this is term limits. I think I'd like to go back to where what it used to be, like, or you go for 2 weeks, you go for a month or 2 months, and you're done. You vote, you leave. Because right now, there are so many kingdoms up there, so many, and they're above the law. Just like nobody's going to touch the vice president or Cory Booker in this case, the Jussie case. Let me talk about this a little for a second. Let me ask you this question, and I'm not trying to be, you know, controversial, but do you think this jury, and I kind of hit on what you were saying before, do you think this jury is going to actually convict Jussie Smollett, being the figure that he is and the people he could take down?
Yes.
On this clip I played, at the end it said Jussie could get a community service out of this. When he committed a federal crime and he mailed the threat letter to himself, which is a federal crime, do you think that he's going to be convicted? After,
yes, I do.
Before you answer, after we saw what happened in Wisconsin, Kiosh, I can't remember the name of it. They have a lot of Osh places up there, where the African-American took the SUV, and they're blaming the SUV on this, and he ran over, I think he killed 5 people and injured like 100, and he was arrested, and now he's out on bail. How is that even possible? And he's African-American. Do you think Jussie Smollett will be convicted?
Yes, I do. And I go back to the trial before that, where I can't remember his name, Kevin, the young man that was up on trial for shooting 3 individuals, killing 2. That trial right there is going to change the way things are starting to roll. I believe that things are going to change and go to more of a fair judgment system. And if you look at the last, we've sat for how long and we've looked at the Democrat appointed judges that keep turning down everything. Anything and everything that the Republicans put out there, they turn down, really for no reason at all. Now you're seeing it go the opposite way, where judges are saying, for instance, Biden's mandates, they're saying, no, you can't do this. I believe that the American people are fed up with the riots and everything that took place in 2020, all the lies that we've been told and everything, that nothing's going to stand in their way. That they are fed up with not being America. They're fed up with trying to push us in to be China, a Soviet United States. There's too many people that are not going to let this happen.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, and I hope that's the case because, there's different justice systems for different people, for different statuses. And when they're connected to these celebrities and these politicians, I'm not sure. I mean, this is Chicago. Everybody's in on this. And I hope that is the case because other people should go down, too, with them. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Exactly, because under our Constitution, that's not supposed to work. And things that are going on right now, I doubt what's going on. You know, there's any justice anymore with the 1-6 prisoners and with people using their authority beyond what they are allowed to do with these mandates and all these draconian rules and laws in each state, and they tell you what to do. Oregon has a permanent, mask requirement. I mean, that's going to last forever. I mean, who comes with this stuff? Because they can, and they have the power to do it, and nobody's going to stop them. We have dictators in this country that are fighting for people. Sorry, go ahead.
you're right. They're these people are dictators. And I believe that their time is coming. The January 6th commission, this is stupid. Every day we keep hearing more and more and more about all the videotape that they've got out there about how the woman that they said died of a drug overdose, that she was actually beat to death and then drugged down a hallway and put in an office until the rescue squad could get there. Well, by then she was already dead. And no, they want to cover this up. You have a man that killed Ashley Babbitt. That man should be
right.
He should be hung. That's a terminology. He should be out. He should be in court. This is not right.
Yeah.
You're talking about a man that couldn't even keep track of his gun, and he walked around and they showed pictures of him with his trigger finger on the trigger. Come on now. That is not the way you defend the Capitol. Anybody that's experienced with a gun, you do not do that. Secondly, the government should not have anybody like that in the Capitol building. Why did he have his gun drawn to begin with? Then we find out that they had an office. They're pretty sure that this red-faced guy was handing out weapons, batons, sticks, whatever, to people. And here he is, a government official. You've got all these films and videos of them letting people in the Capitol building, and they're ushering them in, saying, yeah, come on in, come on in. Then you have the detainees.
Yes.
We treated people after 9/11 better than what they're being treated. As far as I'm concerned, whoever is in charge of keeping them there should be brought up on charges. And then, they should take them and make them live like they've lived for every day that they lived there. They ought to live the same way.
In a 8x12 cell, you got sewage coming through the toilet they have there. They're only allowed out one hour a day, and they can't cut their hair. You can burn it with Nair, but you can't. I mean, there's a lot of restrictions there. And whether you agree with the protest or not, and it was a legal protest, whether you agree with the cause or not, it doesn't matter. These are violations of our rights as citizens, our right to protest.
You have a right to due process, and these people are not getting due process.
And according to my guest last week, he even said that. He said, these people should be at home mounting a defense. They should not be put in a prison, because the buddy or my friend that I had was taken there in July, and that was back in January, and still there. You know, it's just crazy. You know, people believe their family members, they don't know where they are. Some of them, they thought they died or something. They have no idea that they were in that prison, and that happens a lot. So out of thousands and thousands of people, I think there's only 38 in there, 38 people. Right now, and they might get some pieces of bread for dinner, and sometimes it's got mold on it, or they mess with the food and everything else. So I mean, they're losing weight, and this is not. I mean, the people on death row get better treatment than they do, unfortunately.
Right.
The people at the border certainly.
The ones who went to Guantanamo Bay got better treatment than these guys.
Right. So, yeah, there's a lot of I think the reason why you're seeing this, Tom, is because there are things that are going to happen in the future, is what I've been told by the attorney, that these things are going to come out, and they're going to show and point fingers to people of power, and that'll be the end of that. I think that's the reason why they're keeping these prisoners and not treating them right. I think there's so much more behind it, and that right there is the ultimate in tyranny.
Didn't I hear that most of them are in there for doing nothing more than trespassing on federal grounds?
Well, here's the secret. The big secret is that it's not trespassing. The Capitol is usually open. It's not always locked. It was locked that day, maybe because they were in session, but people walk through there all the time. There's a cafeteria people eat at. So the whole thing was almost like a setup. And like my last week's guest, Brad Geyer, said, that they have all kinds of people that they've seen on video who actually were not part of the speech or anything. They came in different vehicles, and they were just agitators. Some people were there the day before, and they were trying to encourage people to break the law, but some of those people never made it into the Capitol. They just arrest them. They recognize them, and they use the algorithm on Facebook to catch these people, a lot of them. And the only evidence they have is their communication between other people. As in the case of my friend, if you read what happened to her, you'll see that it was the little evidence they had was her talking to somebody else that was there. Because there's a picture of her, but they don't have anything on her going inside. She may have been, but her husband was right there with her. And he was an engine mechanic, by the way, Navy, Air Force. He was actually in the movie Top Gun. He was one of the extras in one of the Navy scenes, believe it or not. So I worked with him for a little bit, and he worked at the airline with me as well. But things like this, yeah. I mean, these are decorated veterans. Some of these guys they're not there to hurt anybody or they just take advantage. The door is open. Some people are going to walk in. Not making excuses for anybody, but they let the doors open. It wasn't anybody on the outside that let the doors open. They had to open them from the inside. So you got to be careful, you know, what people say stormed. And like you said, there's a lot of video loop being played over and over again that don't depict the whole thing. And when these things come out, you get to see some of the police helping out the people that are agitators and handing them stuff and where they are, and people are getting beat up. You're going to be like, what in the world happened?
Yeah, one of the doors that they show a lot in the video of was magnetically locked. I mean, there is no way once the magnetic locks are on that you're going to open that door. And
right,
you could see the security guard standing inside with the door locked. And all of a sudden, one of them disappears and goes around the corner, and magically the door opens up and they stand aside and let everybody in. And the other thing too is people have to realize, if you look at the time stamps and everything on these videos, the majority of what happened as far as getting into the doors and people in happened an hour or just a little bit less than the time that Trump got done speaking. The people who were there listening to Trump did not have time to get to the Capitol building from where he was speaking. And most of them people there in that time frame were not MAGA people.
Right.
I'm not saying none of them were. I'm saying most of them were not.
Well, that's all on the video. That's true.
And I still think Trump knew something was up, and that's why he was asking Pelosi if she wanted and more military people there. And, of course, she said no. That would ruin her narrative. And he held the people there long. And, of course, Trump, he's notoriously late for any speeches or anything he's going to give. He's always late. And that's because he's talking to people behind him. He's a very personable type of individual. That's how he got where he was at. If you look at what Trump was doing before he ever became president or even thought about it, very involved with his workforce and people around New York.
Yes, and I learned that. It's a good story I learned from Gene Ho, his photographer. He wanted to meet the people, you know, working behind the scenes, the workers there, before he met the big dictator. He would just bypass the dignitaries and say, hey, how's it going? You know, how's everything working? How's your job? That's the kind of guy he is. And, you know, he knows what the backbone of America is. You know, just like all the construction sites he visited the people that worked it because they were valuable resources. You get a happy worker, that's good. Right?
He's a very hands-on he's a very hands-on type of CEO of his company. He had a lot of his family around him all the time at the White House. But look at the jobs they were doing. You know, I mean, it's I'm very impressed with that man.
I am too. And whether you like him or not, I mean, think about everybody loved him before he ran for president. And that's the amazing thing. I mean, he got NAACP awards, and they say about things that he's racist or whatever, but I've never seen anything like that. They can't, there's nothing you can prove. I mean, he's been with, he was Jesse Jackson's best friend. He was Al Sharpton's best friend, and everybody wanted to be around him. And he was the billionaire of choice in New York City with the black community. And look at all the stuff he does for blacks. So I think it's unfair. You know, it's really sad when people put a racist label on anybody. I don't care who it is. You have to prove yourself to be a racist. And, you know, you can't just say they are. And you can't come back on somebody who used to be a friend and claim that they are. And then the media goes, that's our number one enemy is the media.
Boy,
they run with everything. And they're the reason why we have problems today. Like, they can make any situation, like before you vote, hey, wait a minute, this guy's a racist. This guy did this and that and the other. And you can't, and there's nothing provable. I mean, there's no justification for them doing what they're doing. And that's what I always say. Other parties that are the problem, it's the media that goes along with whatever they say. And that's a dangerous tool. And there's no fifth column like there used to be. The media is supposed to keep the politicians straight, and they only get one that they pick on. They pick on Trump. And they're trying to keep him in line while they don't say anything about what's going on now, because let's talk, you know, Afghanistan, you know, that's ridiculous. What happened there? And a lot of people don't know I was part of that. I was a contractor for that program, and things didn't go anywhere near where they're supposed to be. And nothing happened. Nothing turned out the way it's supposed to. Things just fell apart. And it's because of decision-making, you know, for people who didn't understand what was happening.
You look how many people we left there and are still there, and they kept lying to us. There's only 100. We pulled out. They said, well, there's only 100 people left there. And then it went to 500. And now the last one I heard, they're saying somewhere in the vicinity of 15,000 Americans or their families are still there.
There are other people, too, that are not Americans that helped us out.
Then when we had private citizens borrowing airplanes to go in and pick people up.
Yes,
and
right.
Like the one man said, do you know how hard it is to go to somebody that owns an airplane and say, look, we want to take this into a war-torn area when it comes back and may have bullet holes in it and everything else? And the man to stand there and look you in the face and say, well, okay, it's for a good cause, you know? And have them sitting there, voted, ready to leave, and the United States will not give them clearance to land back in the United States. It's terrible. The other thing was, I liked what Trump did, or what he said. These people should be kept in their region. A lot of the people that left there, well, they said there's a bunch of them they think coming up from down south of the border now. And that they should be kept there. So maybe we could rectify the situation and they can go back to their home. I think if you talk to a lot of them, they don't want to be here. They want to be in their homeland. They want to take care of their problem.
Totally agree. Totally.
And there's other countries,
there's so many
that would have taken them, that would have gladly taken them until they could have got the situation under control. But I think a lot of them would not have had to have left if we'd have done it the way Trump wanted to do it. Of course, the media and Biden and Klan, you know, they were Trump didn't want to get out until later than what we got out and this and that. Well, he had a plan to get out, you know. The first thing was we weren't going to fly and close down on one end of the country where you're circled by mountains or half-circled, and you got to fly in a pitch up and down to get into the place, and then you're sitting there fighting weapons in the mountains shooting at your airplanes.
Right.
This is stupid.
Yeah, you're right, because there are things I know I can't say anything about, but I will say this, that the plans they had. I mean, the aircraft stuff is fine. It's just I believe, and I heard that reports that they're going to actually get the entire city, not just the airport. But I guess Biden said he only wanted the airport. That's all he needed. That's why we had all that trouble with the people getting hurt and the bombing and everything. So there's a lot more, I'm sure, to that story that I don't know about. But and when you have the entire city, it doesn't matter. They had enough to fend off the entire Taliban. And there is no such thing as a Taliban A or whatever they call it. It's all this. They're all the same people, or the, I can't remember what they call them, ISIS A. It's all the same people. The point is, they actually released those prisoners from jail at the Air Force base, and that's how they got out. So it doesn't even matter. So, you know, they're the same in my opinion. There is no ISIS A. You can't work with people that are enemies. You know, everybody knows that. That's just a basic thing, you know. I thought everybody had that kind of common sense. Apparently they don't. So as a result, we lost the country. We lost all those people. We lost our dignity. We've grown weaker. So now we're confronting Putin. We're threatening Putin for wanting to make a move on Ukraine, the company that bribed our president and his son. And now we want to go and say, oh, we're tough guys, but you couldn't even handle Afghanistan. Afghanistan wasn't a hard thing to figure out. Whether they would have done more, I mean, they could have made an enclave, just like we used to have enclaves we'd go to in other countries, and we'd fly out of there 2 weeks at a time, or maybe a month, or maybe more. That's what they should have done. There would have been no problem right now. I mean, it's hard to do that with Navy ships off the coast. You got to have people there that can talk to the people and arrange things. They'd still be there today with the same aircraft that we gave them. And all that equipment was theirs. They bought all of that. It's not our equipment. So not everybody can have a hissy fit over that. So, I mean, that's how FMS works. You know, that's standard FMS. We don't own anything that we give to everybody else unless they want to sell it back to us. So not a big deal. Just saying, right. You know, there are things that we could have done that we didn't do. And unfortunately, you can't undo what you did. And once you passed, the magic thing was, once you passed that deadline of May 1st, it was already lost. So you just didn't have time to get anything done. And so it just fell apart on its own and further poor decisions down the road. And I'm not a military expert, but I know how things work that way, just like you do. We know if you don't have a posture and everybody from the military leaves, gets out of the country, and all of a sudden you have a vacuum, and that doesn't work. So,
correct. You don't pick up, you don't just leave and leave all your assets sitting there. You and I have talked before. The assets, a lot of them sitting there, were not some of our high-valued assets. The military operates something similar to a computer world. Once it's out in the market, there's already something on the drawing board to beat it and be better than that. And I do believe that if the government and the military were more upfront with the American people about some things, that there wouldn't be near the unrest that you get when it comes time that the military is withdrawing and things like that. I do believe that the people, starting with Milley, going back down through, that there's issues there that need to be addressed.
Yeah.
And when you have a general calling the Chinese saying, don't worry, we're not going to attack you, I have issues with that.
Yes, exactly.
You answer to the President of the United States. You agreed to back him when he was elected president. And here you are backstabbing him, you know, instead.
Exactly. It's a free-for-all now, especially now when Biden's in office, because nothing gets nothing gets attention. Nothing is too bad, bad enough. You know, just like something like this, you know, like we're both military guys, you know, if you, something like Afghanistan, he'd be removed from office. That tells me, I mean, right. That's, it's dangerous in so many ways. And a lot of people don't understand this. If this is what you do in this situation, everything's already laid out for you. All the exit plans are already done and they were supposed to be followed. If that didn't happen, and then this happens and the Taliban takes over the entire country, then how can you be president of the United States? There's no confidence in the next military thing. And it's his administration and his people that did this. And, oh, that was like 7 days ago. He doesn't care about the people that are there. So things like that, and the Americans that are still there, he just, I mean, it seems like nobody cares. And, you know, think about the troops. I mean, people, 12 or 13 Marines, Army, whatever they were, died for no reason.
Oh,
could have been prevented.
There was no reason for any of them to die. In fact,
right.
You know what? There's no reason that anybody over there should have died at all. This should have been a very
exactly.
peaceful, very coordinated, very well orchestrated, and a very well thought out plan for the future. Not just the week or two or a month, whatever it was going to take to get out of there, but going forward,
yeah.
This is what we expect. And you leave the claw there that if you don't do this, we're coming back. And it's not going to be good. Now, we're trusting
right.
you that you're going to do what you say you're going to do. We're going to support you and try to help you. But, you know, you mess up and we're coming after you.
That's exactly what President Trump said. And what he did, you know, he had them under his thumb. I mean, he would bomb them if they didn't follow his rules. So there's nothing behind this new administration. There's no fear from anybody, any country. I mean, that's why they're acting up all over the world, like in the Philippines and over there in Taiwan and North Korea with South Korea. I mean, everybody can do whatever they want. I mean, that's how they feel, just like Russians and Ukraine. And things like this, this is not a priority. The military and world peace is not a priority for this administration. What's more priority is to get everybody the jab. That's the number one priority in this country, is to get everybody the jab in the arm of something experimental. And none of these vaccines are approved by the FDA. Something that has never been in, you know, I think it's Pfizer. They have one, but it's actually not what they're using. It's, what's it, Comirnaty or something?
Yeah, and that was developed in Canada. And after all this started, Pfizer bought that company. And their vaccines are all over in Israel. And that's why that judge come down and said, you know, what do you mean it's approved? Your FDA approved. He said, well, it's the same thing as what's in this one over here. And the judge said, let me see what's in it. So he brings him a recipe for the jab, and he says, no, no, no. These two are not the same by any means. Not
right.
going to do this.
Yes.
So,
that's the case, exactly. And the commodity, whatever it's called, has never been produced. It's not used in this country, and so it's like a switcheroo. But if you have enough money, you have trillions of dollars, you can do whatever you want in this country.
Yep.
Same thing with Fauci. That's the problem. We don't have a constitution anymore. We're holding on to one, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't reach everybody. It doesn't reach drug companies who are paying the newscasters and all the personalities. I think what's going to happen, hopefully this will get overturned. They have to stop because, I mean, I think there's thousands of people who have already died just from the vaccine alone. And the VAERS report is only like, they say VAERS report, multiply it by 40 or 50, you'll get the real numbers. So unfortunately,
right.
I've known people that, you know, there's a lot of black people who won't take it. Let's just say that. But I do know some people that I work or that I know in my church who have died. Or have had heart attacks. I had three cousins have heart attacks. after the jab, and two of them died. And they're like perfectly healthy. So I have questions. I mean, this is all over the world. You see people die, you know, on the soccer field, especially in Europe right now. You'll see there's lots of videos out there. They just have heart attacks or heart explodes. Most healthy people, it doesn't matter what your health is or anything. But this is happening. And when it hits close to home, I mean, a friend of mine's nephew just passed away with a heart attack, 25.
Yep. And probably healthy as could be, wasn't he?
Yes. He played football at Lakota High School. And
they've said that 200, at least 200 athletes, professional athletes, have gotten a shot and died. And it's, I mean, professional athletes all over the world.
Yes.
Not just
yes.
basketball, football, like what we think of it. But, And it's coming out slow but surely. But, you know, this is – the problem is the government moves so slow.
Right.
They are very, very slow. Back years ago, if the problems – if we'd have had these type of problems with a vaccine, quote-unquote vaccine, it would have been shut down. They never would have produced it. And now it's so bad that they don't want to tell you for 55 years that what their actual research was. Well, they've offered to get, what, 500 pages a month, and it's still going to take them 55 years? Well, the first pages they've handed out are terrible. Over 1,000 people got heart problems and died. Come on now. This isn't right.
That's in the first 90 days.
Yeah.
That was in the first 90 days of the trial. Yes.
And people want to blame Trump for this. Well, I'm sorry. When you're not given information to make a decision and you got that fruitcake Fauci sitting there, you know, and he's the best you got on board, there isn't much you can do about it.
Well, that brings up this little subject. If you're 80 years old, if you've been in the government that long, and we know that's impossible, okay? I was a government employee. You work for the government. It's impossible to stay that long, period. I know people that are older in government and they're contractors or something, but being a federal employee, they're like, oh, you've been here long enough. You're here long enough. Once you turn 57, you got to go. So how in the world is he still there? He's there for a purpose, it seems like, for a reason. I think he's got an agenda. Just saying, I'm not saying 100%, but that seems so much like he's supposed to be there at this time. And people love him. They trust him. And, you know, the mask thing. And, of course, you know, masks don't work based on our chemical warfare training. Impossible. This is ridiculous. You don't cover your eyes. You don't cover your ear. You don't cover your, you know, you're just open. You're an open target for anything that hits because that mask is totally worthless. Has no bearing on your safety, and which I don't understand why people. Yeah. I mean, if you walked into one of those chambers, you will be devastated with that mask on. One of those chemical warfare chambers or gas.
Remember what we
that's
used to walk
from right
in,
there.
Well, you look.
A lot of people don't understand it.
You look what we used to wear when we were chemical warfare training. It wasn't nothing like that.
No.
And you had to, you know, we had to do the suction part where we made sure that you couldn't get any air in around your face or anything like that. Try that with these.
Right. That's the only thing that works because if you don't cover your eyes, it's no different than having your mouth open or uncovered. Absolutely no different.
Well, think about it. You think about it, too. That mask is supposed to be the filter. We had to have our filters changed every, what, so many hours?
Yes. Yes.
We had to change out filters.
And they use charcoal filters.
Yeah. This, you know, I'm sure you did as much as I did. And when I looked at all this setup and everything, I laughed. I said, yeah, okay.
Right.
And the next thing you see on Facebook is a picture of them over in China making a mask in this filthy, dirty room. And you got three or four guys sitting there in a sewing machine sewing them. and they're going off on a filthy, dirty floor, and you got kids standing there cutting them and stacking them up.
Right.
It's really a sterile environment.
Reminds me of Interlake, Turkey, with the shops on the street, and the kids are making everything in the back room. This kind of thing. Hey, that's how the rest of the world works. I mean, we don't work that way here, but, I mean, they have slave labor with children.
You were talking about the way the military goes in and how we come out of these countries like Turkey. Remember being there, and as fate would have it, a bunch of airplanes that came in of the next unit were broke. I mean, hard broke. And we had to leave some of our airplanes there. Well, when the units come in, they bring their own pods, things that hang off the aircraft without going in too much of what they were. And the thing was, when you left country, those pods had to be hanging on the airplane. You couldn't have extra ones laying around. So
right.
I remember they brought their own pods, and we had a couple of them, and we were flying out of there heading back into Spain, and we had to go down the runway a little ways to get on the C-5. So we had it on a rolling cart, and we all gathered around it because there's towers all around and they're watching what you're doing. I mean, there's nothing
right.
about anything that you're doing. If they want to know, they've got guys watching. And we gathered around this pod, and we hustled it down the runway so nobody could really see what it was, and hustled it on the airplane. And we no more got it on the airplane, and the airplane was cranked up, the doors were closed, and we were out of there. Now, if you haven't ever been in the military, you don't understand what I'm saying, because we never closed the door in taxi. It was always you close, you know, you get on the airplane, you sit there for 5-10 minutes. They secure everything. They close the doors, and then you start up, and you might sit there another 10-15 minutes, and then you taxi. Well, this time it was we got on the airplane, they closed the doors, and they didn't even have the doors fully closed, and we were taxiing. So, I mean, you know, you've got to understand what you deal with sometimes in them situations.
Yeah, there's things you don't want to fall in enemy's hands, or you don't want them to see what you have. So, yeah, just like that's why they have guys walking around with M16s on the flight line. They're protecting us. Every day you went to work, they're there. Letting you on the flight
right.
when they control that area. And if you intruded on that space, you got a beat down or you didn't make it out. So those little pods, for people in my audience, there's things these pods can do that I can't even tell you about. But I do know, like the lightning pods, they're on YouTube. That's why I can say. You could be up in the sky 15 miles away, and it looks like you're right over that target wherever they are. They can see everything through the clouds. And crystal clear. It's amazing. So they have a huge advantage over the enemy. So these are things that we don't want the enemy to have. And these things were not in Afghanistan or other countries. Nobody has these. But maybe our NATO allies, they have the lesser version. When we worked with the Dutch, they don't have the same things we have. You don't give away your best stuff. That's the key right there.
A few of the things that's finally coming out, like on Facebook and whatnot, are like with lasers. They talk about this rocket that China launched and went around the earth so fast and everything. Well, it's like the individual said, where do you think they got the technology from? I mean, look here, last
right.
year and a half, how many professors from colleges here have been arrested for selling information to China or sending it, and they caught them. A couple of them they caught getting ready to get on an airplane and get out of the country, and they had the information on them. You know, it's things like that that they don't, people don't realize.
Right, because, Tom, because I work, I mean, I went to Wright State, which is right next to Wright Pat, and we had professors there from China. Not saying anything happened, but the rumors are, and we had incidents with foreigners in areas they weren't supposed to be in, so it's real, because that's the Air Force Research Lab over there, and people go back and forth, and you have to be very careful. It's very tight there, and these people are designing weapons and weapon systems or components for the Air Force and for the Navy and everybody else. So it's very important. Clearance means everything. So does security and need to know and all that stuff. That's the life we used to live, and some of us do a little bit today, but there's a reason why we're number one, and we want to stay number one. That's why we don't export the F-22, only the F-35. There's a reason for that, too. So there's a lot of things behind the scenes nobody, you know,
right.
Most people don't know about.
This is the first time I've talked to anybody about aircraft stuff like this after I retired, because it was just something that I thought, you know what, it's better off if you don't talk about it. It's just better off. But I do think that there's not enough information out there as to look. Trump took care of us. He put a lot of stuff in motion that the government, it was already funded, and he could not pull funding for it. And there was a lot of military stuff going on, and it will again. Someday when he's back in there, I believe that this will go very well. And I think this is part of why China and Russia are pushing so hard, because they know what would be, they know that the United States is not going to sit still and take this forever.
Right. So, Tom, let me ask you a quick question. Back when Obama was president, remember how different things were in the military?
Oh.
Were you around then?
We had the carpet fund, remember? We called it the carpet fund. It was a fund that the guard units all put up for the commander's office and redoing and keeping the commander's office up to snuff and looking good and everything. And I can remember days when we had to go in and there was X number of thousands of dollars left in that fund, and we would get a hold of the state, and it'd usually take a week or two, and say, look, we want to transfer the money from this fund over to this fund so we can buy T-wheels for our engines. Remember that?
Yes. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I mean, that's how broke the military was all the time. They kept us broke.
Yeah,
talking
people have
that,
no idea how bad it was because, yes.
You talk about, you remember we always had to spend our money at the end of the year.
Right.
If you had it and didn't spend it, then the government would take it back, but then they would reduce the budget the following year by that much money.
Right.
And Trump, he was adamant about it. He said, there is no reason for this. Just because you didn't spend that much money this year, and he had a common sense about it. He said, maybe things didn't break as much, or you had a good year of flying. Maybe you didn't get to fly as much. We don't want to take the money away from you. Granted, we may short your budget by how much ever you have, but we're not going to decrease your budget. If we give you $30 million to fly airplanes this year, we all know it's not any cheaper. The next year, we're still going to give you the $30 million, but we're not going to take that. We don't want you to waste the money by buying frivolous stuff like popcorn makers, coffee makers, carpet for the office if you really don't need it, things like that. When we will give you an incentive to hang on to that money, and we'll give you the same amount of money next year, you know, be smart about the budget. And for years, we had talked about it. It was, there's no incentive not to spend the money.
Right. Exactly. So, we had budget cuts were extreme, okay, if you remember, and then a lot of things we couldn't do, places we couldn't go, things were canceled. And when we had sequestration that Obama had, we didn't get paid. My last trip, after I got back from Africa, they weren't paying us, federal workers. We got cut, 2 weeks of pay, 2 or 3 weeks. And there's so many restrictions we had, and we were doing the red line over near Syria. And and none of the Air Force in that period could actually fly aircraft when we were there in 2013. Nobody could because of the way the budget was. The Guard was the only flying force we had in the entire United States military. The Air National Guard and Army Guard were it, because everybody else was grounded because of what Obama's budget went like. So very dangerous, very upsetting. And we were like, what in the world? We were all the way to Africa. And we could not see anybody but guard people. We had the California Guard. We had all kinds of people, Colorado, New Hampshire. We had all these people that should have been active duty, but they couldn't fly. Over in Europe, in Spain, all the active duty planes were there on the flight line. They only taxied them. We were the only ones. It was crazy. Unless you're activated, that's how to the bone our military was cut that year. And even the Marines, everybody was at a standstill, frozen. And then, like I said, at insult to injury, they took our pay away when we got back. So we had to actually have a they put us on orders, military orders, because the federal employees, they paid for that. And back then, when you had, like, shutdowns, you didn't get paid back at that point. Now they all get paid back. They get recovered the pay, but now it's a lot better. But that happened after Obama because, I mean, it was like he threw the federal employees and the military out the window and expected us to accept, you know, things that we didn't agree with, like men dressed up in women's clothes. They had one of those guys down there in Tucson at the guard base. A friend of mine was telling me about it. And the record number of people getting married, same sexes, right after they made that announcement, I think it was in 13 or 14, and it was just amazing. It was like, this is such a big distraction. This is not what the military is for. Unfortunately, I mean, I'm glad that we don't have that anymore, and now it's coming back. But you could see what a distraction that is and how it has nothing to do with the mission. We're here to destroy things, right, and win wars. We're not there for a social experiment. And that's insulting. I mean, it was awful. It was terrible. Everybody was sensitive. Everybody had to have sensitivity training and got to the point where it's okay, but that's not what we do. I mean, it's great for a college, but not for the military.
Right. Well, you know, you talk about that was the big push always for the Guard and the Reserve was join the Guard, join the Reserve, and you can get your tuition paid for.
Yes.
And then as soon as you're activated for a real-world situation, it's totally different. I mean, everybody's like, yeah, I joined so I could get free college, but I didn't think I'd ever be activated to go to war. Well, this is what we do here. This is...
Yep.
I have a nephew that's getting ready to join the Navy. Sorry, I couldn't talk him into the Air Force. He loves the Navy. I said, go for it if that's what you want. But I explained to him in no uncertain terms. I said, I don't know what they do now because it's been too long. But when I went in and you signed that contract to join and enlist after your physical, they told me right up front, they told everybody in the room, you need to pay attention. This is a legal and binding contract. We are a war machine. That's what we do here. This is
absolutely.
And then, not to be, I can remember very bluntly what he said. He said, "We're here to kill innocent old men, women, and children that probably don't know why we're there and what we're doing." But that's
absolutely
what we do.
Hey, Tom. Hey, we have 1 minute left, and I appreciate you coming on. I know. It's been an hour and a half, and I appreciate you coming on and talking. I'm going to have you on again sometime. You're very knowledgeable about everything that's going on, and I appreciate that. So
I enjoyed it.
Oh, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did, and you have a great evening and weekend, and I'll talk to you after that, of course. We should talk once a week, and I appreciate you being on here tonight, and yes.
Thanks, go
ahead.
Have a good night.
Hey, we have 30 seconds. Everyone, thank you for listening to the program. Remember, you can't always get what you want. So, everybody have a good night. Thank you very much. See you, Tom.
I'll call you later.